This is another broadcast of the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm David Allen Carmichael. We're going to be playing something. It's commentary by G.T. Hunt, lawyer for a Gitmo detainee. I'm challenging his thoughts, my thoughts, your thoughts, all of our thoughts with regard to habeas corpus, due process. Does somebody have to be an American citizen to get due process? Is that just a benefit of living here? Or is there something inherently required in law, in the created order, that would require due process? What do you think? What's the basis of your thoughts? So thank you for tuning in and again and listening. Please check this out at our podcast, faithfreedoms.net. Tell your friends about it. If there's anything that here that intrigues you, it's worth tuning into, faithfreedoms.net. Of course, you can check out more of the things we do and some of the videos and other things at faithfreedoms.org. So let's go ahead and tune in and see what G.T. Hunt, Gitmo detainee lawyer, has to say. I think it's appropriate to, when things are hot and passionate and a lot of crazy things happening, there's a point where you just shut down a little bit. But there's been plenty of time, I think, at this point to make a concerted effort to very deliberately secure this issue. It doesn't help the government security, I would think, to be looking like a tyrant all over the world. It just puts, it's bad PR. Whether or not what's going on is just, I think it, because they're not very deliberately solving this problem and solving the inequities, I think it's ultimately going to hurt them. They're not hedging their bets properly. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, it's an embarrassment to our friends. We have plenty of friends around the world, but it's an embarrassment and a scandal to them.
Your client right now, because of the recent change in status declared by the current administration, your client, who very well may be just a guy who would be pro-American, possibly, and just be a crazy news media guy, an interviewer guy. I hope, Mr. Hunt, that people don't hate your guts because I could get taken off into the hoosegow later. I don't know what you're doing in your off time, you see. I just thought this was a good interview, so I pray I get a little divine intervention here. But, I mean, I'm being facetious. But if the guy legitimately has a pro-American bent, it sounded like he was asking for a Bible. You know, that's unusual for some of those clients down there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we didn't go into that part
right.
of it. At one point, he had a Bible in when he was in Bagram. And when he got transferred to Guantanamo, he doesn't know what happened to it. It might be in the personal effects that came with him that he isn't allowed to have. So he asked for it, and they said he couldn't have one.
That's not your typical jihadist.
Well, the Old Testament and the New Testament are part of Islam.
Right.
Yeah, they're secondary to the Quran. So, yeah, I don't think your typical jihadist would want a Bible, but that's not unusual.
Right, okay.
Serious
sure.
Islam. So when I heard this, I bought one, paid about $9, left it in the shrink rack, and I sent it to a chaplain on the base. And it was a woman chaplain, a Unitarian, and I sent her a letter telling her about the guy and saying that he would not mind a visit from her, which is, of course, also is a jihadist because
right.
this guy has nothing against women. And I have no idea what she did, if she ever even got the thing. But the next time I went down there, they officially reamed me out and gave me quite a reprimand for breaching protocol and prison decorum and everything, and sending the Bible to the chaplain. So I went to court under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, saying that he had a right to this, and we didn't get anywhere there either. I mean, the courts are not doing us, have not done us any favors at all.
Right.
I don't know whether he eventually did get a Bible or not, but.
Well, what about his habeas corpus? Is he going to be reviewed at all by any D.C. circuit or anything like that, or district court?
It's still pending. The government is being so hesitant with bringing forth any of the relevant documents that we have not rushed into court. In fact, it's gone very frustratingly slow. And I'm assuming that it will never come to hearing because they'll either let him go or charge him somewhere. But it's been a long time since they've had to do that. So,
or he might die.
Yeah, I don't know. It, it's completely up in the air and uncertain.
I said I talk about things on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis of right versus wrong. So I'm a Christian extremist. I love God, love my neighbor as myself. That's crazy stuff I say. And I'm going to say if we got to pray for anything right now, it's really to pray for our government that they would really get a sound mind. We are desperate for a sound mind these days. That's my concern is that I appreciate what you're doing because you're taking a hard road. If you're going to defend one of these guys in Gitmo, you're already set up to being a guy on the list who's potentially anti-American or something like that. And certainly that's not your bet. And I
haven't encountered any of that. I mean, maybe I run with the wrong crowd, but everybody I know supports what I'm doing completely. And if anybody doesn't, I have sort of a fallback position, which is I'm really doing it to defend the value of my law license. I mean, the Constitution sets it up, and I think all of us thought that you couldn't lock somebody up for any long time in the U.S. without a judge looking at it. And judges look at things with lawyers looking over their shoulders or standing in front of them. So the idea that we could have indefinite executive detention is really a revolutionary idea and an abrogation of the Constitution and one that would personally hurt my profession. So I think most of us lawyers who got into it were thinking sort of along those lines, that we have a vested interest in due process. Most of us, I guess, have been surprised at what we found, that namely the clients were not the worst of the worst at all. Hmm. Now, those that are, their lawyers will hang in there because they're lawyers.
Right.
That's our professional duty. I mean, if I had drawn College Sheikh Mohammed, sure, I'd be trying to defend him. And he has, as a matter of fact, military lawyers that are trying to defend him. But yes, I say amen to your prayer for our government that gets back on track and reads the Constitution and gets things going again.
Or else the terrorists are winning. I mean, that's, you know, ultimately, if they can change and undermine those things that are good here, then obviously that would be a victory for them. So I think it's sometimes even more important in many cases to do what is right, and it will work out. I think in the long run, our security will be taken care of. Since we've got this radio broadcast, you're going to be talking to a group in West Central Florida for now. It's going to be rebroadcast other places. Is there something that you would like to convey that you think the average American needs to know? And I guess that's a good way to close, is just to give us your insight on the things that you think are important that I may not have asked about.
Well, I would just stress again what I said, that the people at Guantanamo are a mixed bag, and it's time we rallied behind the government and let them deal with it through the ordinary criminal means. They are not supermen. They're not military people. They have no right to the honors of the combat exception and so on, the right to be considered honorable fighters. The terrorists among them are not military people. And it's time to cool it and rally behind the flag and let them be brought somewhere and put on trial.
Now it takes, you know, to have the home of the free, it takes the home of the brave. Or we're not going to have that freedom.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you. That was easy. It was an easy cliche that's not a cliche. So thank you so much, G.T. Hunt.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That's great commentary. I really appreciated Mr. Hunt. Again, he was not able to be here today. That's why it was pre-recorded. It had a little bit of hissing noise in the background. We've got a few more minutes before we go to the next segment. And that's the end of the interview. I thought it was very important. We're going to be posting it on our faithfreedoms.net. Good comments. What is this David Carmichael, David Allen Carmichael? What is his perspective? You just can't figure it out, can you? It's just too hard to figure out what my perspective is, isn't it? Is he a liberal? Is he one of those bleeding heart liberals? Is he one of those neocons? I'm neither. I'm so conservative. Conservatives, or those who think they're conservative, they think I'm liberal. And I'm so liberal. Those who are liberal think I'm right-wing conservative extremist. Actually, what I'm trying to do is do that which is difficult to do, is check my bent toward a certain faction. Check it out. Just try to remove myself from my particular faction and get to a reference. There are certain things that if it's clearly in the U.S. Constitution related to government and what the government ought to be doing, this is a procedure. It was put together by some very sharp people who did their absolute best to take all the lessons of history and of the Bible and of Christianity and of justice. The Bible says, I think it's Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. There was a group of people that were really seeking the Lord and could actually look back in English history, in British history, and see the wrongs that were done in the name of the church, in the name of God, in the name of government, in the name of the king, that were just downright wrong. They were just wrong. And so what they did is they said, well, what kind of boundaries? What can we give? What kind of boundary can we set up in government? So they use Montesquieu's theory of having this several branches of government, which wasn't his in particular, but there were other examples of that. But really defined lines to where the executive and the judicial and the legislative branches were indeed separate. What's the U.S. Constitution say? It talks about the judicial branch. That's Article 3. It talks about the trial of all crimes. How many crimes? All crimes against the United States. That's a trial of all crimes except in cases of impeachment shall be by jury, and such trial shall be held in the state, that could be New York, where the said crime shall have been committed, but when not committed within any state, let's say against the coal overseas, the trial shall be at such place or places as Congress may by law have directed. That's it. Just do it. See, we shouldn't even be having these discussions about, well, should it be here? If it was done outside the state, outside a particular state, Congress can figure it out. They could say, hey, have the trial in Gitmo, have the trial in Fort Knox. They could do whatever they want to do based on this rule book, this guideline. You know why you have guidelines? Because evil men do not understand justice. We have a propensity toward evil. Unless redeemed, in fact, even once redeemed, let's say all my sins are forgiven, my brain is cleared up, I'm a new creation, I'm telling you what, I'm still living in this flesh body and I'm going through life being battered by all the insane people around me, I may not have the right perspective on any given day depending on my passions for the day. So you know what? They have rule books because evil men like myself don't understand justice. So there's a rule book so that when we're in our passion, we can just follow the rules. See, I think there's a divinely ordained order by the providence of Almighty God that the current, even the result that we have, this structure of government, takes us back to the foundations of those things that are right. And if we would abide by those things that are the foundations that really made this country great, which is actually comes right smack out of the Bible, we're going to actually perform justice. We will do justice, or more likely to do justice ultimately. It's appointed man wants to die than to judgment. Justice ultimately will happen. Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. Keep tuning in, 888-850-1872.